Well, I hope you're feeling thankful to be here this morning. I can't tell you how thankful I am to see the Bartons. And I was thankful to see Quentin, but he didn't get up here to lead the lesson, so I kind of lost a little bit of the Thanksgiving there. Very, very proud of Quentin and Kendall and all they're doing, how well they're doing in school, and that is a great, great example. Jesus met some people in the first century in his travels that weren't very thankful. Most of you remember the story about the 10 lepers, and some of them showed the wrong kind of heart. The account is found for us in Luke chapter 17, and I hope you have your Bible so you can turn there with us as we read this account. In Luke chapter 17, the account begins in verse 11 and goes down through verse 19. Begins in Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." In the Bible, leprosy is a very broad term for a variety of infectious skin diseases. Probably covered lots of different types. Probably the most common one today that would fit in that category is something called Hansen's disease, which is spread by having contact with someone who has the disease, and you have to have multiple contacts with them, and sometimes it comes from nasal secretion, sometimes it's just skin contact. But when we look at the Bible and we look at some of these diseases categorized as leprosy, we see they included symptoms like disfigurement of skin and bones. We see twisting of limbs. We see the curling of the fingers, which is typical of leprosy. We see tumor-like growths, lepromas, that are all over their body. And in some cases, we see a loss of pain sensation, especially in their fingers, they would touch something that's extremely hot and they couldn't feel the heat, but their flesh would be burning. So these people were the true untouchables. In the Bible, when we look at them, that's what they are. They're the untouchables because they had to live in isolation as outcasts from society. They couldn't participate in normal social activities. The Bible says they had to live outside the city, outside the camp. Back in Numbers chapter 5, we are told a little bit about lepers. Numbers chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 gives us a description of what they had to go through. Numbers chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell." Now, there were several people in that category. When we look at Leviticus 13, we find this said about lepers in verses 45 and 46. Much of that whole chapter is about leprosy and what they had to do to look for it and how they could be considered clean. But in verses 45 and 46, it says, Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So what a horrible life. The leper had to make it clear to people who would approach that he was unclean, that people should avoid him. A very terrible, lonely, isolated life. This text in Luke 17 provides us with a number of lessons that I think are very appropriate for us. Jesus had healed these 10 lepers, these people who could not get relief any other way. He heals all 10 of them. All they had to do was go to the priest. Notice they had to do something to be healed. He didn't heal them on the spot. What did he tell them? Go to the priest. And when all 10 of them started to go to the priest, on the way, they were healed. Can you imagine that? These were people who had had this disease, this awful, awful disease. They'd cried out to Jesus for mercy, for help, and they receive it. And this awful disease that kept them essentially from having a family and from being a part of society and living a normal life, it was suddenly gone. And of course they had to go to the priest because the Mosaic law said that's what they had to do. They had to go to the priest and the priest would look and then the priest would say, pronounce, yes, you're clean. So Jesus here in this account was simply following Mosaical law. That's what they had to do. Of course, the difference was when they left Jesus, they had leprosy, but by the time they arrived at the priest, they were cleansed. They were miraculously cleansed on their way. One of them returns. One. And that's it. The other 9 went on. This guy was so thankful. The first lesson we, of course, see is the sin of ingratitude. You know, we do live in a society today that's very ungrateful for the things they have. And hopefully we don't fall into that category, but sometimes we might. Because the Bible associates wicked, evil, immoral people with being unthankful. In Romans chapter 1, Paul uses that term to describe unwicked or wicked evil people. Notice this verse. Make us kind of sit up and think. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul describes ungodly people. He says, beginning in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness and unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Look at these people. They did not glorify God as God. And what were they? They were unthankful. Associated with wicked people, being unthankful. The Bible lists a number of types of people that on occasion are ungrateful, or maybe there are people that we are not always thankful for. In Job, we see this done as well. In Job chapter 19, we see several categories of people. This is Job talking in Job 19. (Clears throat) This is Job basically talking to God about what God has done. In verse 14, Job says, "My relatives have failed, and my close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservants count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight." Can you sympathize with Job's feelings there? Relatives have failed me. Close friends, they've forgotten me. The people who basically work for me, my servants, they look at me like I'm an alien. I'm a stranger. I'm an outsider. Has family and friends ever been ungrateful to you, or have you ever been ungrateful to family and friends? Friends are marvelous. Wonderful. Especially Christian friends. And it's so great to have them. And we should never neglect being thankful for them. Because they're rare. Christian friends are rare. Hopefully we'll never get to a point in our lives where we're not thankful for them. It's wonderful to have them. So you can feel Job's pain here. It says, my family, they've forgotten me. My friends, they've forgotten me. And sometimes we may feel like Job there, that people have forgotten me, forsaken me. Feel that we're taken for granted. That's how Job may have felt there. Certainly an awful feeling. Christians especially, we need to be thankful for people who have helped us. Who've helped us. You know, it's terrible to do something for someone and that person be just so ungrateful about it. Yeah, it happens. It's happened throughout the Bible. It's happened throughout time. The Bible considers ingratitude to be a sin. Unthankfulness is a sin. Sometimes we don't think about it being that terrible, do we? That's how God describes it, as a sin. It says that's how wicked people live. That's how sinners live. That's how ungodly people live. They're unthankful. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the wise man tells us this in verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 15. This is just almost like a parable in one verse. "Now there was found in it," and talking about this little city, "a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man." Now, can you sympathize with him? Here we have the wise man saving the entire city, not a single person being thankful for it. And the verse seems to indicate that he had done it all by himself, and yet no one was thankful for it. You know, no wonder the Bible describes ingratitude as sinful. That describes people of the world. It shouldn't describe God's people ever. People who are in distress. In Psalms 38, verse 11, the psalmist talks about how we need to be concerned about that. Psalms 38, verse 11, it's considered to be one of David's psalms. Verse 11 says, "My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off." Here was someone who needed help, but was not receiving it. Needed help. He says, my friends stand afar off. My relatives, my family are standing afar off. Now that's how the lepers had been treated the whole time they had leprosy. They had to stand afar off. They couldn't even come close to Christ because they had to stand far away. Now, tradition tells us that it was at least 50 feet or more, but probably a lot further than that. They couldn't get close to anyone that didn't have leprosy. Can you imagine having that intimacy taken away where you couldn't be around someone other than another leper? How awful. The sin of ingratitude. The sin of ingratitude. And of course, the worst thing not to be thankful for is not to be thankful to God. Old and New Testament describe how terrible that is, not to be thankful to God for all that He's done. In Isaiah chapter 1, as Isaiah begins that great book of prophecy, he tells us at the very beginning of that book, verses 2 and 3, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider." They don't understand. They don't realize what God has done for them. They're unthankful. They're ungrateful. That described the Israelites during a long portion of their journey in the wilderness. Think about the times they complained to Moses. "Oh, Moses, look what you've done to us. You've led us out of Egypt. We had such a wonderful life in Egypt. Oh, we were taken care of so well in Egypt, and you led us out in this wilderness just to die." That was after God had miraculously fed them. That was their ingratitude. At another point, they were complaining, "Oh, there's no water. We're going to die here. We had water in Egypt. We had it so good in Egypt." So water miraculously comes out of a rock. Later on, the same complaint. "No water. We need water." Water comes out of a rock again, twice in their wilderness wanderings. Water comes out of a rock. These people still complain. They still murmur. "Why did you do this? Why did you do that?" They were so ungrateful to God. Now, there was one leper, though, who realized the incredible blessing that had happened to him. So he comes back to Jesus and does what? Falls at his feet, glorifies God. But he was a Samaritan. Remember, the account says that Jesus is on the border between Galilee and Samaria, going down south. He's there on the border. This one was a Samaritan. And Jesus says, out of the ten, it was the foreigner, as the New King James calls him. It was the foreigner who was thankful, implying that the other nine should have been more thankful. So it was just the one. They had been miraculously cleansed of one of the worst diseases in the first century. Nine of them went on their way, never bothered to thank God, thank Christ for what had happened. But one comes back, and now we see the blessing of gratitude. The blessing of gratitude. Thankful, number one, for God's love. You know that the society of first century Palestine did not prompt Jesus to help the lepers, because in the first century, the society shunned these people. For one thing, because of their appearance. Their hair was totally messed up. They were dirty. They smelled. They had terrible-looking sores on them. Their limbs were twisted. So society shunned them. So it wasn't the society of the first century that urged or encouraged Jesus to heal them, because most people avoided them. Not Jesus. Jesus knew what they needed, and He knew He was the only one that could provide it. Nobody else could heal them, but he could. So it was his concern, his compassion, his love for them. The Bible says God's love extends to the heavens and it never ceases. If you haven't read these two verses in a while, you need to put them on your list. In Psalms 36, verse 5, the psalmist uses that expression to describe the love and compassion and mercy of God. In Psalms 36, verse 5, also considered to be one of David's psalms, verse 5 says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." That's the expanse, that's the range. His mercy, His faithfulness, His love, His compassion has no boundaries. Reaches to the heavens. In Lamentations chapter 3, we're told there by Jeremiah that His love and compassion never ceases. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." I think it was the English Standard I was reading yesterday that says, "endures forever." Never ceases. Never ceases. Today, when we have prescription drugs, when we have vaccines, was it last year, the year before, that the vaccines were in very short supply? They can run out. Not God's compassion, not His love, not His mercy. It never ceases. It never runs out. Ever. We should be thankful for that. Number two, we should be thankful for the cleansing power of Christ's blood. Cleansing power of Christ's blood. We're reminded of it every Sunday, aren't we? We were reminded of it a few minutes ago when we were partaking of the fruit of the vine, because that is a symbol. When we drink that, that's a symbol of the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. Now those 10 lepers, they had a horrible disease. They couldn't be helped by washing, not even with lyso. Wouldn't help. They did not have a prescription medicine. They didn't have a medicine, period, that they could just go take a pill or rub something on them and it would just go away. They didn't have that available. No man could cure them like that except Jesus Christ. The lesson for us is very obvious. We have a disease. We have a spiritual disease. Now, a lot of our world doesn't believe that there is such a thing as sin, that there's such a thing as a sinful life. The Bible says otherwise. It also says that Jesus' blood is the only cure for it. The only cure for it. Now imagine, just imagine, if you had what was considered an incurable disease. Whatever it might be. Just imagine, and you've had it for years and years and years, and then a man, someone, discovers a cure. What would we do? We would rush to him and thank him and thank him and thank him and never stop thanking him over and over and over again. That's what the leper did. Jesus had the cure. And the leper was so thankful that he ran to him, fell at his feet, and thanked him profusely for what he's done. We have a terrible disease of which Jesus' blood is the only cure. In Romans chapter 5, Paul talks about this terrible disease, and then in Romans 6, talks about how it can be cured. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, Paul writes, "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Saved. For those who never, never receive the cure, they will experience God's wrath. But for those who use that cure of Christ's blood, they will experience joy everlasting. You know, that's how we should feel about Christ. That's how we should feel about Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us of how precious that is. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, Peter says this. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Precious blood of Christ. People who need some type of medicine that's in short supply, they understand that precious, precious bottle. Christ's blood, though, there's no short supply of it, nor will there ever be. It's available every second of every day, and you can access it. The Bible says it's accessed for those outside of Christ by baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. We're baptized into His death, and then we're what? We're raised a new creature. That spiritual leprosy is gone, washed away. We come up white as snow. White as snow. And then lastly, we should be thankful for Christ's fellowship. Those lepers, they're cleansed now, and they can go back into society. They can go back to relatives. They can go back to family. They can go back to friends, because now they don't have leprosy. That dreaded disease has been removed, and now they can have that wonderful fellowship that they've been lacking for years and years. They no longer have to stay outside the camp. They no longer have to say, "Unclean, unclean." They don't have to say that. Now they can have fellowship with all of those that had been denied to. Christ wanted all 10 lepers to come back, but they didn't. Today, only those who are cleansed of their sins and have been purified can have fellowship. In 1 John chapter 1, John reminds people of how that continued fellowship is maintained. Because in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, John says this: "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Skipping down to verse 6, "If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." It's this fellowship that grants us access to God. The Hebrew writer tells us we can have confidence when we go to the throne of God. Why? Because our sins have been washed away by His blood. Whatever we do as Christians, we must have a thankful heart. A thankful heart. I want to end this lesson with a seldom read passage, but one I think is so appropriate in the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Habakkuk, and it's chapter 3. It's the last three verses in the book, beginning in verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. Some of the most beautiful verses in the Old Testament. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. I will rejoice. I will be thankful. For God is the God of my salvation. If He's not the God of your salvation, today's the day to make Him so. By experiencing that great new birth in water baptism, or by asking for forgiveness of sins, confessing those wrongs before men, whatever the need you may have, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this invitation song.